From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrie. Mark Cook Jr. is the third person to die in Alaska Department of Corrections custody this year. His family says he died by suicide after hanging himself at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau, where they say he spent weeks in solitary confinement with debilitating back pain. He was 27 years old. KTOO spoke with his family and has this story. And a warning, the story contains descriptions of suicide. In an intensive care unit at Bartlett Regional Hospital, Yadukwe Mark Cook Jr. was on life support Monday. He'd been declared dead, but he's an organ donor, so he remained hooked up to the machines. Cook's family sang a Chlingit entrance and exit song, often used for ceremonies. Some read scripture and prayers. Ernestine Hanlon Abel spoke to her grandson in his hospital bed.
We're going to do a song for you. This is to help you exit this physical world, and you are entering a new journey.
Mark's death fits a pattern. In a recent investigation, the Anchorage Daily News reported that suicides in Alaska jails spiked last year, and that the department has long faced criticism that it does not do enough to prevent suicides. These deaths were all among people who were awaiting trial. Hanlon Abel says her grandson was the best Chlingit dancer she's ever seen. But in February, he visited the Hoonah Health Clinic with a back injury and left with pain so bad he could barely walk. Cook's family says he got upset at the clinic, yelled, and threatened to sue. The next day, Hoonah police arrested him on misdemeanor charges of trespassing and property damage. Cook was later transferred to Lemon Creek because his family said he could not get the medical care he needed at the Hoonah jail. They said they were in touch with him throughout his time at Lemon Creek, and he didn't get much care there either. And family members say that because of his back problems, Cook was placed in conditions that amounted to solitary confinement about 3 weeks ago. Cook's father, Mark Cook Sr., said he spoke with an Alaska state trooper in the emergency room about what happened on April 22nd. According to Cook Sr., the trooper said that Cook used his bedsheets to hang himself from a vent after putting tape over the room's security camera, and that it was about 30 minutes before security found him.
This shouldn't have happened. That was cruel and unusual punishment in that jail. He taped up the camera.
Why didn't they untape it?
And they didn't find him for over half an hour after he was found.
That other voice is Jody Schrock, Cook's mother. She believes his suicide was a result of untreated back pain and solitary confinement.
He couldn't handle the pain anymore. They just threw him in a cage and left him there. He never would have killed himself had he gotten help for what was wrong with him.
The troopers confirmed the manner of Cook's death, but referred KTOO to the Department of Corrections for details. The department did not answer questions about whether they followed their suicide prevention procedures. Megan Edge is with the American Civil Liberties Union in Alaska. She said her organization has heard from a number of people placed in what amounted to solitary confinement for medical reasons.
DOC often says that, you know, it's not solitary confinement. They're not in trouble, but they're living in conditions of confinement that are identical to solitary confinement.
Edge said solitary confinement is inhumane, and that the Department of Corrections hasn't explained why inmates with medical issues would face those conditions. A department spokesperson told KTOO that it, quote, does not practice true solitary confinement since most cells have two bunks, unquote, but declined to comment on whether Cook was kept separate from other inmates. Meanwhile, Cook's family thinks he should not have been in jail at all. Family members say they feel Cook's bail was unreasonably high for the offense, and they don't understand why a judge said Cook could not stay with his grandparents if he was released. Edge said it's important to remember that Cook had yet to go to trial for his case, which involved two misdemeanors. On Tuesday, at a Juneau hotel, 10 of Cook's loved ones shared stories about who he was, often speaking of his giving spirit. In his 27 years, Cook was a father, an EMT, and a musician. Hanlon Abel said she hopes her grandson's choice to be an organ donor will mean that other families won't have to grieve for their child.
That's the way he was. He's gone and he's still given.
Cook Sr. said hospital staff told him that up to a dozen people could benefit from his son's organ donations. The state of Alaska has transferred ownership of a few blocks of downtown Juneau to the city. It's a historic neighborhood known as Telephone Hill. Several of its residents have lived there for decades. It's unclear at this point what the future holds for them. The city has a desperate need for more housing, and Telephone Hill is prime real estate. but some residents are asking the city to at least delay any evictions as long as possible. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
When Tony Tangs took the stage at the Alaska Folk Festival this year, he sang an ode to his Juneau neighborhood, Telephone Hill.
It's where the oldest house you'll find. It's like you just step back in time. It's a breath of fresh air from the hectic scene.
And the neighbors like it there because it's so damn rare. Keep old Telephone Hill forever to be seen.
Tangs knows that oldest house well. He's rented one half of it for 28 years. It's also the neighborhood's namesake. The Webster family ran Alaska's first commercial telephone service out of the house.
I call it the West Wing. And had some fabulous times here.
Telephone Hill has 7 houses and 1 5-unit apartment building. The state of Alaska was their landlord until March, when the city and borough of Juneau took over. This summer, there will be a series of public meetings on the future of this neighborhood. Nothing has been decided yet, but Tangs is already moving out. His floor is covered in boxes and musical instrument cases as he prepares to move into a nearby apartment community for older adults. But he thinks his neighbors shouldn't have to move until the city is ready to break ground on whatever comes next. The city's first step as owner was to select a new property manager, who will collect rent for the city through at least the end of September. But that's as far into the future residents can see so far. City Manager Rory Watt says these are the latest milestones in a long process.
I think for the tenants, maybe it's an increasing sense of change is really likely to happen.
Watt says the city will likely build new housing on the property. He says it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to add units in a desirable location downtown. The lack of housing and the rise of short-term rentals have made it harder for Juneau businesses to hire employees.
I think this is a classic good of the many versus good of the few type issue. You know, I'd like to see several hundred units of housing available for the community on that property. Right now, I think we have 17 people living up there.
The city has also started negotiating with a planner and designer. Watt expects them to spend 3 to 5 months on a redevelopment plan. The city has tasked the planner with considering a no-build option, too. But Watt says that seems unlikely.
The assembly's goals, which it sets every year, is dominated by housing issues. And there's nothing wrong about preserving a historic neighborhood. It just doesn't meet what we're trying to do.
Some tenants, like Roald Simonson, plan to stay as long as they can. He's lived on Telephone Hill for 20 years, in a bright studio lined wall-to-wall with bookshelves.
Come in. You're going to see this new person here. Look at this.
Hi.
Simonson has started keeping an eye out for other housing.
Yeah, you have to.
But he has a request for city leaders.
Just don't move us off here until you have to. And, you know, don't sort of jump the gun on it. Don't say, like, well, we got to get the residents off here for whatever happens, let's do that, and then have things sit for 6 months or 8 months or a year or 3 years.
He says he hopes the city picks a redevelopment plan that makes future generations proud. Skip Gray moved to Telephone Hill in the 70s. He's holding out hope that the city will preserve the existing houses.
I loved living here. I had a great group of friends, great group of neighbors. There's a lot of history in this house.
Gray has since moved out of the neighborhood. But standing outside his former home, he remembers hosting visiting musicians and throwing New Year's Eve parties. The house sits on a lot once owned by Richard Harris, an early prospector and partner of Joe Juneau.
I would wish that people would take a good hard look at the value of history and what our kids or grandkids might be able to see remaining of that someday.
Gray says he understands the need for more housing downtown, but he doesn't think Telephone Hill should be the place to build it. He's trying to organize tenants and community members to raise awareness of the planning process and share their opinions with city leaders.
If they come with bulldozers and tear these houses down, and I'm standing there watching, I don't want to say I didn't try.
In the meantime, he'll keep watching for updates at city assembly meetings as tenants wait to hear what's next. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
This is KTOO.